Yes. Father, we're grateful. Thank you for honoring us with your presence. Thank you for unction. Thank you for the spirit of worship, praise, and adoration. Thank you for the revelation of the risen Christ that sparks joy in our hearts and bubbles out in true worship and adoration. For this purpose, you created us, that we might give you pleasure. Thank you. We enter your word with humility, asking and trusting you for fresh unction and anointing, so that I would speak as I should as an oracle of God, and ask the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me this afternoon, here in Nigeria and whatever time it is, wherever in the world. Same unction on the people, those who are here present, those who are hearing remotely, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We further pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit will be released in sufficient measure to follow these words and back them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Power that will heal. Power that will deliver. Power that will break yokes. Power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, that indeed I will deliver the word with precision, redeem the time and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving all the blessings I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me individually and said, this is a very special Easter service. It's been such a wonderful presence of the Spirit of God in our midst. And I'm not surprised, because I really believe with all of my heart that we are fast approaching the manifestation of His glory. You can see it even in the worship. You can see it in His presence. And of course, nobody knew my message except myself and the Lord. And I now can appreciate how eager God is to do the things He has promised in His word. I've entitled this message, it is a prophetic landmark message, but I assure you I'm aware today is Easter Sunday and not a regular service, but it is what the Holy Spirit has put into my heart, and I believe it is prophetically strategic and timely for such a time as this, for the preparation of the body of Christ in this year 2019 into 2020. My wife said something on New Year's Eve. As I was preparing this message, the Lord reminded me, you know, she said, what you do in 2019 is going to set the scene for the next decade. It's a little early, we're just in April, but you know, in God's timetable, this is the beginning of the year. You see, you do in January, December, God does Passover. Passover is the beginning of the year in God's calendar. Passover and then tabernacles. God's times revolve around the feasts of Israel. They don't revolve around the Gregorian secular calendar. And so it's no surprise to me that God is doing what He's doing. I've entitled this message, The Lazarus Transformation of the Physical Body. Everybody say, The Lazarus Transformation of the Physical Body. What do I mean by that? It's a long term, but I'm going to break it down by the help of the Holy Spirit. What we mean by that is that the physical body in this lifetime is going to undergo a transformation. Not a resurrection. We're going to have a resurrection later on when Jesus comes. When He comes at what we call the rapture. And that is coming. It's down the road. But before the rapture comes, there's going to be a company of God's people that will experience, demonstrate a transformation of the physical body. And I've entitled it Lazarus Transformation because the story of Lazarus in the Bible is a type, an example of this wonderful truth. This truth is explicitly stated in the Pauline revelation, in particular in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verses 10 and 11. The scripture, if you come to this church, you should be very familiar with. Some people are not familiar with it. Others are getting more and more familiar with it. I am very pleased to hear people talking about this more now. Choir singing more about it. It means it's entering into our consciousness. The Bible says, always bearing about, I didn't hear you, in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Next verse. Good. For we which live, if you're alive, give me a wave offering. So He's talking to you. Turn to your neighbor, say, He's talking to you. If you're living by the life of God, the Greek word there is zoa. It's the verb transitive of the noun zoe. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our immortal bodies. In our glorified bodies. In our resurrected bodies. No. In our mortal flesh. In our mortal flesh. God spoke to me. He said, you need to drum home this truth. Because if they don't get it, they won't believe for it. And if they don't believe for it, they will never experience it. My wife was saying something, you know, when we were doing something during the ministration, it struck something in me, you know. Something I've said before, and she said in a different, same thing really, just, you know, a little bit of a different order, but it's essentially the same thing. It says, see the invisible, believe for the impossible, and then manifest the incredible. That's what this is all about. And that's what happened with Sarah. Not this one. Sarah. Sarah of the Bible. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sarah believed. She saw the invisible God. Then she believed for the impossible. How many people know that it is impossible, physically speaking, for a 90-year-old woman to have a baby? How many people know that? The womb is past days. Doctors, you know, we're not going to go into medical science now, but it's past menopause. All the necessary chemicals and all the hormones and all the things, they're all dried up. There's nothing. That's why it was the impossible. But she believed for it. And this is what the scripture said. He said, and she received strength. You will receive strength in this, your mortal body. She received strength to conceive. And then she brought forth the incredible. She brought forth, his name was called Laughter. Oh, you will bring forth laughter. In this end time, the Bible says, and he that sits in the heaven will laugh. You know, people have been asking, where is the promise of his coming? Where is this manifestation of glory? Pastor Olubi, I'm preaching glory, glory, glory for 20 years, 30, 25 years. Where is all of this? We're going to laugh soon. Just like Abraham and Sarah laughed. And that's why the scripture says, look unto Abraham and Sarah, the rock from whence you were hewn. Am I talking to anybody here? Are you listening to me? The life of God will transform the same physical body. Sarah's body underwent a transformation. Abraham's body underwent a transformation. And if you are hewn from that rock, your body will undergo a transformation. I've never said it like that before. It's come by the Spirit. I'm going to repeat it. Abraham's body underwent a transformation. Sarah's body underwent a transformation. They were still mortal bodies. They died. But before they died, they brought forth the incredible. And if you are hewn from that rock, how many people are hewn from that rock? Give me a wave offering, somebody. If you're hewn, are you hewn from the rock of Abraham and Sarah? If ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So if you are born again through Jesus Christ, you are hewn from that rock. Therefore, it is your prophetic destiny that your body will also undergo a transformation. If you can believe it, say amen, somebody. Oh my God. I haven't even started. Turn to your neighbor and say, forget today's Easter Sunday. Because pastor is just going to flow with the Spirit. How many want me to flow with the Spirit? Well, even if you didn't give me permission, I'm going to. But God will help me. So there is coming to a company of God's people who would believe. That's why we have to preach it. That's why you have to have faith with it. So you begin to see the invisible. You begin to believe for the impossible. And then manifest the incredible. People are going to see men and women 80 years old looking like 40 years old. Not only looking like it, acting like it. Not only acting like it, living like it. They'll go back to playing tennis, swimming, doing all the things young people do. They say, how old is that person? He's 90. He said, no. You must be kidding. And they'll bring the birth certificate out. And he will outrun you. He'll go up the stairs faster than you. And he won't be out of breath. Say, how is that possible? A transformed body. A transformed physical body. Notice it is not a resurrection. It is a transformation. Hence the title of this prophetic word. The Lazarus transformation of the physical body. Even meditating on the title alone will give you a revelation. Why Lazarus? I'm just going to hit that running.
When Lazarus was going to was when Lazarus was sick, we know the story, so I'm not going to go through. You know, he was sick, and then he died, and then Jesus came, and Mary and Martha were crying, and in fact they were accusing him. Of course, you know they knew the Lord Jesus and they loved him and they respected him. So it was not a frontal accusation. It was, you know, it was a tangential. Thank you, darling. Was a tangential. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Corollary, he died because you didn't come in time. Yeah, that's it. It was an accusation. It was quoted in nice words, but it was an accusation. If you had come in time, my brother would not have died. How many people have said that to the Lord sometimes? He forgave my time, he will forgive you too. Don't worry. You can put your hand up. You'll be forgiven. We've all said it at one time or the other. Oh Lord, if you had just, Lord, if you had just done this, this would not have happened. All of us have done it. In one circumstance or the other. How many are the honest people here? Remember, all liars will go to hell. Don't join them. Me, I like being honest. Are you listening to me? It's the truth. It was an accusation. It was a tangential. It was quoted in a nice word because they loved him and they respected him. But they blamed him. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. So Jesus now tells them why he delayed. He said, your brother will rise again. Talk about the incredible. So they did what all of us do. They postponed it to the resurrection. I know he will rise again on the last day. Then Jesus declares the incredible. It is incredible. It is what he said. You must put it, you always read it in the context of after the resurrection. You must put it in the context of before the resurrection, before you can appreciate the incredulity of the statement. He said, I am. He did not say, I am going to be. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And then he asked a question that is still reverberating through the corridors of time. Believest thou this? That's what Mama was telling us. See the invisible. Believe the impossible. And then manifest, receive the incredible. The Lord Jesus was throwing something out to Mary and Martha and all of us down through the ages. He says, if you can believe for it, you will see resurrection power manifest before the resurrection. I'm going to say it again. You didn't get it. If you can believe for it, you will see resurrection power manifest before the resurrection. Amen. Only my wife is saying amen. I didn't hear their own amen. Mommy has caught the vision. Believe, see the invisible. Believe for the impossible. Then manifest the it is incredible. For a man that has been dead for 4 days to come back. But we are going to see it in the same time. In some of our own cases, the man would have been dead a week. You know why? Jesus said he would do greater works. In some cases, he'd have been dead a month. Oh, stretch your faith, folks. Don't limit our God. Otherwise, what would he have meant when he said he would do greater works? If you do the one of 4 days, then it's the same thing. The greater one will be the one you do is he's been dead for 1 month. Dead, buried, cemented. Not the one, you know, in Jesus' day, they didn't have cement. They had the stone. So they rolled the stone. This one, you'll be dead, buried, cemented. don't know about you, but I stretch my faith. You know, I believe it. There's no pie in the sky. I believe it. But that's not even what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what you would do after your body has been transformed. I'm talking about the consequence of the transformation. Now, what do we mean by Lazarus transformation? It is a pre-resurrection transformation. Because Lazarus' raising from the dead was pre-resurrection. And the amazing, honey, this is incredible. It is incredible. Whenever we read those things, we always read with the mindset of Jesus was raised from the dead. But at the time Jesus was talking, he wasn't yet raised from the dead. That's what makes the thing incredible. At the time Jesus was talking, he hadn't even died. He had not been raised from the dead. And he was saying, I am the resurrection and the life, before he was raised from the dead. That's why it's a Lazarus transformation. A transformation by a resurrection power that is available before the resurrection. I don't know if we're on the same page. How many people are on the same page with me? Follow me if you can. Because I know I've left some people. Follow me if you can. Amen. If you don't follow me here, you'll follow me later. Get the tape. We used to call it tapes in those days. Get the message. Download it. The audio department, they will send it to you after the message. Then listen to it. Listen to it. Listen to it until you can follow me. Amen. I have to take you beyond yourself. If I leave you where you are now, you will never grow. I have to stretch you. A transformation by resurrection power before the resurrection. That is why we call it the Lazarus transformation. You know, Mary and Martha couldn't believe. They didn't believe. That's why they were blaming him.
If he had come before, you know, he would not have died. Jesus wasn't angry with them because Jesus understood the infirmity of the carnal mind. He was compassionate. As you grow, that's what you become. You become more and more compassionate. Hallelujah. You know, so he didn't fight. He didn't take it as an insult. It was an insult, but he didn't take it as an insult. He just bypassed it and said, your brother shall rise again. Because they didn't believe. So he moves towards the incredible. Where have you laid him? Voila. Where have you laid him?
You know what, Martha? You know, and you know, of the two of them, Mary was the more spiritual. Both of them were loved Jesus. Martha was the one who was doing all the cooking and everything. Mary was the more spiritual one. It was, see, Lord, by this time he stinketh. Don't try it. Don't go there. Don't go there. There are Christians in their house when they hear this kind of message, they say, Brother Ruby, don't go there. Don't go. It's not possible. There is no way your physical body can be transformed. All the transformation will come when Jesus comes, which is the same mistake Mary and Martha made. That's why we call it the Lazarus transformation. When you finish listening to this, when you finish hearing me, when you download the message, you know, on the internet, you know, from the internet onto your computer, open your Bible. Like I told you the other message on More Than Conquerors, open your Bible, go and read it yourself. Anyway, I say all these things, stop the playback. Then open the Bible yourself and say, let me go and check what this pastor, don't mind this pastor, let me go and check whether that's what really the Bible said. You will be amazed. It is a Lazarus transformation of the physical body. At the time Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, he had not been resurrected. So how then could he call himself the resurrection and the life before he had been resurrected? Simple, by faith.
I just got a text. That is why he's the author and the finisher of my faith. I will follow Jesus anywhere. You know what Peter said? Jesus walking on water. At 3 a.m., between 3 a.m. and 4 a.m., 5 or 6 a.m. in the morning. They had left him. They had been rowing, you know, trying to go to the other side. They had healed. He had fed the 5,000. He had done prayer, you know, prayed some of the night. So he given them a boat and said, "You guys go out. I'll meet you later." So when he finished his prayers, you know, the fourth watch, somewhere between 3 or 4 a.m., he just takes a nice breezy walk on the sea. Nice air. Very refreshing. You know, just wasn't afraid. It wasn't. Wait a minute. The boys in the boat, they've been rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing. What is this? It's a spirit. Just said, "Chill. It's me. It's only me." Peter said, "If it be thou, bid me come." How many people can say that about this time preaching? I will follow Jesus. Who? You know, Jesus didn't discourage him. He said, "Come. Come." Whenever you stretch your faith for the impossible, Jesus will not say you can't do it. He will say, "Come." He said, "Come. Come." And the Bible says, and Jesus stepped out of the boat. Peter. It happened though. And walked on water. Sadly, he took his eyes off Jesus and put it on the wind and then he started sinking. But it is still recorded that he walked. You will walk in the impossible. I'm stretching your faith, I know. But that's my job as your pastor. If I leave you where you are, I'm not doing my job. I'm supposed to stretch you. Praise the Lord. Am I helping anybody here? So that's why we call it the Lazarus transformation of the physical body. It is not a resurrection. It's a transformation. To also use a natural analogy to try and illustrate this deep and great spiritual truth, we use the analogy of the metamorphosis, which is actually the Greek word, you know, for transformation. That's what it is. You know, in the Greek it's called metamorpho. It's translated, that's where we get the English word metamorphosis from, and that's taken from Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, brethren, that by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a what? Watch where it started, your body. A living sacrifice. Shall I translate that? It's talking about transformation. Amen. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That's where we get the word metamorpho. From where we get the English word metamorphosis. So if you look at the butterfly has four stages of its life. It starts as an egg. Then when the egg is born, it becomes a caterpillar. The caterpillar moves, it's alive. But that's not the end of its destiny. Then, after some time, the caterpillar goes into what is known the pupa or the chrysalis stage, in which it kind of hibernates. It just stays in one place. It just is not moving around anymore. But there is, in that condition, there is an internal transformation that is taking place. And after the chrysalis stage is over, the butterfly now breaks out of the cocoon of the pupa. It breaks out of it and it begins to fly. From egg to butterfly is the same butterfly. But it had to undergo a transformation. So it is spiritually. You go from getting born again, egg, to becoming baby little child, butterfly. Then you go into the young man stage, chrysalis.
you see the same powers in the ministry of Jesus. You see, Jesus is in the egg stage, and thou shalt have a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. The Holy Ghost will come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be conceived in thee shall be called the Son of God. He became the Son of God. He was always the Son of God in eternity, but he became Son of God in the womb of Mary at conception. Then he was born, a baby. Then you see him at 12, caterpillar, moving around. Then between 12 and 30, you see him as chrysalis. Nothing. But something was going on the inside. Then at 30, the Spirit of God, without measure, comes upon him. Hallelujah. Says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And pushes him out into ministry. He goes to the wedding feast at Cana of Galilee and turns water to wine, and behold the butterfly. Same Jesus, from egg to caterpillar to chrysalis to butterfly. Same thing with you. Most Christians live and die in the caterpillar stage. So we've never seen Christian butterflies. So we don't believe they exist. The closest we saw to Christian, of course, Jesus, you know, Paul, John, Peter, and the great things that God did through them. The Bible records these things. You know, in particular, you know, talking about Peter, for example, the Bible says, you know, and Peter's shadow was healing people on the streets of Jerusalem. He said, they will bring out the sick. Peter won't pray for them. Oh, brethren, we need, God will help us. They are going to see in our generation. And we will put to silence the ignorance of foolish men once and for all. You see, all this contraption we see now, where we try and contrive things, go to crusade ground, beg people, get money from them, you know, arrange fake miracles, the ones that are not fake, you know, just have about, you know, we have 1 million people, you know, 500 or 200 will get healed. It's good, but come on, folks. It's a drop in the bucket. Are you listening to me? And why must it be in Shiloh and your crusade ground? When I will know it's real is when you can walk through Songo or Sabu. You don't pray for anybody, no advertisement. You just walk by. And the lame start walking. And the blind start seeing. Oh, you will get the attention of government. I'll tell you something, folks. That is what people are waiting for. They can't put it in words. He said, when it happens, he said, this is our God. This is not all this fake one we've been seeing. You know, they're trying to do that. He said, you know, this is the real thing. Peter didn't pray for anybody. He did, you know, but in this particular instance, the Bible said he was just walking. People had been there, been telling people, so people started bringing people from the villages around Jerusalem. He said, there's no need for him to pray. Just stand here. He's going to pass. The effulgence. Those of us who are chemistry and all. The effulgence of the power of God that was emanating from his body within a defined radius. Hallelujah. Was healing the sick and casting out devils, because the body had undergone some degree of transformation because of the association with Jesus after the resurrection. It was a borrowed anointing, fairness. Well, even if it's borrowed, I like it. I'll take it any day. I'd rather that borrowed anointing than what we have now. Talk to me, somebody. Then later on in Acts chapter 19, we read of the Apostle Paul. And God did special miracles. So that from his body, the transformation of your body will be transformed. So that your body will carry the life and the power of God inside it. And you will not need to pray for people. People will just touch you. Not this one where you're asking them for 20 naira and you're asking them for... No. No, you will not go there in this move. This is not covetousness. This is not to make money. This one, it will be the pure thing. The power of God will be inside the physical body. People will just take their handkerchief, touch you. Then they will take it all the way to Undo. They will take it to Kano. They will put it on the sick person. The demons will fly out. And the person will get healed. Oh, that will change Nigeria. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. That's what we're talking about, folks. We cannot be satisfied with this mediocre caterpillar Christianity. It's a good beginning. And we thank God for small beginnings. But we must not stay small. We must move from small to start seeing the invisible, believing the impossible, and manifesting the incredible. Jesus never said you will do small works. He said you will do great and greater works. I don't know if I'm helping anybody here. This is what we mean. So the Lazarus transformation of the physical body will cause a manifestation of the life of God inside the physical body that will cause unusual miracles. That will be performed just by virtue of the life of God inside the physical body. No prayer. That doesn't say we won't pray. We'll be praying for people. But you don't have to pray before something happens. It's the presence. We see it recorded in Peter. We see it recorded in Paul. Paul also says this in a few scriptures. He says that mortality might be swallowed up of life. In the Amplified Bible, in Philippians 3:11, he says that if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And then in brackets, the Amplified Bible says, while in the body. These are scriptures. I've given you about 4 or 5 scriptures now. You know, these are, the Bible says, the matter of 2 or 3 things, let every word be established. These are established truth. It's an established reality that the church must press into. This is what Paul meant when he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the... You see, in their generation, they visited it. But they couldn't live there. I remember when children of Israel, when they got to Kadesh Barnea, you know, Moses sent 12 spies out, including Joshua and Caleb, but that's not what I want to talk about now. What I want to talk about, they brought back the fruit of the land. The pomegranates, the grapes, and all the... They said, it's good. That's what the early apostles did. They went into the land, and then they brought back the fruit so we can see it. But it is the destiny of this generation to possess the land. So what we read in the Acts of the Apostles is just the fruit that the spies came with. Paul was a spy. Peter was a spy. John was a spy. They spied out the land. And then they brought back some of the fruit. And then they wrote it down. They said, that's what you can eat. But don't just eat it. Go and live there. So you plant seed and you harvest it. And that's what you do daily. I don't know if I'm that. I know I'm stretching your faith. But that's exactly why the Lord put me here. Now, let's quickly move on and we're going to close. So, the purpose, I've already hit that, is to manifest life of God, the transformation of the Lazarus transformation, showing that it's a pre-resurrection transformation. That's why I use the word Lazarus. Of the physical body
is to cause a manifestation of the physical of the life of God inside the physical body that will manifest the glory of God, the same glory that the Lord Jesus Christ manifested in his lifetime. When he did the miracle in Cana of Galilee, that was the first time they saw anything like that. At that time, he had only 6 disciples. The other 6 came later. You know, it was just Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew. Just those 6 at that time. They followed him to this party where maybe some relative, we don't know. You know, it's very interesting. God does not record the name of the people who got married. There's no record of their name, their daddy, their mommy, and whatever friendship or relationship they had with Jesus. They were not relevant. What was relevant was what Jesus did. Food for thought. Jesus may come to your wedding, but are you relevant? There's no record of the name of the people who got married that day. It's not there. Amen. Normally, you know, if you write the Bible, you see, and Jesus went to something, the house of Johash, Ginnikon, the son of. He sometimes God will put those there. So this one, he was just deliberately silent. Another message for another day. Anyway, the important thing is, and so they saw, the Bible says, and when he turned water to wine, he says, and he manifested forth his glory, and what? His disciples believed in him. Now watch this. They had believed before. They believed when they heard John. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." So they believed. That's why they followed him in the first place. But that faith became concretized. The faith strengthened. You see, miracles don't give you faith. But the faith you have that causes a miracle to happen will now cause that faith to become strengthened and established. So it says, and they believed in him. And the Bible says of us, it says, as he is, so are we in this world. We need this glory to manifest. We need this life of God, this transformation of the physical body, to manifest the glory of God as a witness unto all ethnos or tribes before Jesus comes. I said this on Wednesday. It wasn't this Wednesday because we prayed this Wednesday. It was 2 Wednesdays ago when I was ministering here in church. I've never said it before like that. The manifestation of sons of God is essential for 2 reasons. 1, as a witness, because after the manifestation of sons of God and we preach the gospel of the kingdom unto all ethnos there just means tribes, tongues. You know, that's where we get the English word ethnic from, you know, for a witness. Then we will be raptured in, you know, the man-child, the rapture of the Zion church, the man-child church. Once we are raptured, a tribulation is coming to the earth. And people will say, but they will not be able to say that because they would have had the witness. But if there was no witness, they could say, God, they didn't tell us so. Not only did they tell you, they demonstrated it. They didn't just talk. Their speech and their preaching was not only in the enticing men's words of men's wisdom, but by demonstration of the Spirit and power. So your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hence, you are without excuse. I don't know if I've talked to anybody here. That's why it's necessary. God is going to absolve himself of all blame. No man living on the earth will be able to say he didn't hear. He will not be able to say he didn't see. The ones who are in the uttermost parts of the earth, the remote villages, like we went the other day to Mubi Hills, even in the place where man has not gone, we will go. Not only we will go, we will preach. Not only we will preach, we will demonstrate. We will manifest the glory. We will disciple. So they will not say they didn't hear. So when the rapture happens after the glory has manifested, nobody will say, God, how can you let this kind of terrible things happen to us? Why didn't you tell us? Nobody will say that. You will not depend on whether you have television. It will not depend on whether you have satellite. Where there is no satellite, we will go.
This is not something we're going to do by satellite, staying in the comfort of California. Are you listening to me? It's going to be boots on the ground. You will go where people have not gone. Where missionaries have gone and have died, you will go and you will live. Because the glory of God will be your rear guard. Glory to God. I am so excited. It's one of the reasons why you need to have a healthy body. You have to be strong. Because you'll be going and coming. 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 And you've got to be healthy. That kind of travel takes a fatigue on the physical body. Are you listening to me? And sometimes you'll be in the bush and someplace for 2-3 weeks. Because that's the job. But you can't do it without a transformed body. The body in this weakened form will not do that job. It cannot carry the weight of the glory. Only a transformed body can carry the weight of that glory. The second reason, it's very close to say, I got it by revelation. I was saying, preaching here on Wednesday, you know, and God just took me to the parable of the virgins. People remember the parable of the virgins? Remember, Jesus said in the end time, the church will be like 10 virgins, the kingdom of God. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. Very sad. You know, but they were. You know. Now the Bible says this. He says, and they all, he said, when the bridegroom tarried, they all slept. That's where we are now. Everybody's sleeping. The whole church is sleeping. The wise virgins are sleeping. The foolish virgins are sleeping. What does sleep mean? It means they are not conscious of these things we are talking about. But there is another company that is not sleeping. The Watchman Company. We got that from Kelly Verner. The Watchman is not sleeping. Because it was the watchmen that made the cry. The Lord, behold. Everybody say, behold. Behold. Ask your neighbor, say, what does behold mean? It means look and see. It means look and see. Hello? It means that the watchmen saw something. You know what they saw? They saw the advance party of the king coming. The manifestation of the sons of God is the advance party. When a king or a head of state, it's not like Donald Trump or when Bill Clinton came. If he's going to come to Nigeria in 3 weeks' time, FBI, CIA, there is always an advanced team is sent ahead. They will take the whole of when Bill Clinton came. I remember that one sometime in during Obasanjo's reign. You know, when Bill Clinton came, they took the whole of Nikon Noga. There are, if not the whole of it, about 4 or 5 floors, sealed it off because the president is going to stay there. Checked everywhere for bugs. Checked for, you know, listening devices. Checked for bomb. Checked for everything. They flew Bill Clinton's car. He didn't use the one in Nigeria. They flew it from the U.S. The cars that he was going to use. All the things, all the secret. There was an advance party. It was a confirmation that Bill Clinton is coming. The manifestation of the sons of God is the confirmation Jesus is coming. The king is on the way. Glory to God. The king is on the way. So when they see the glory, they'll say, behold, the bridegroom cometh. If natural kings have an advance party, how much more King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Hello, advance party. The manifestos, that's what they are. They are the advance company, they are the advance party that announces he's on the way. Because once the glory starts, it's just a few years, then the king comes. That's why it's necessary. Not only as a witness, so that people will not blame God, but also as an advance party. We've been talking about the signs of the time, the blood moons and all. Though they're great,
But the greatest sign will be the manifestation.
In fact, once that sign comes, you know he can come in at any time. Well, not any time, but it's going to take some years. My understanding from the books, maybe about 20 years. That's the time it's going to take to go to every tribe, tongue, and kindred. Because the great work that has to be done was a short work. Can you compare 20 years to the 200 years we've been doing? The 300 years we've been doing? It's just it looks big to you, but to God it's really nothing. But it has to be done for legal purposes so that everybody will hear. It's an advance. The manifestation of the sons of God is the advance party of the coming king. They are the FBI, the CIA of heaven. And they are coming to make sure this place is okay before the king comes. What a destiny. I'm not going to miss that for anything. And you know, they don't send anybody in the advance party. The FBI agents are thoroughly trained. These are people who have been thoroughly trained, thoroughly schooled. Watch this. They have been thoroughly checked. They will do background checks. God, before God gives you even the borrowed anointing, they will do background check. Amen. This is not one, going to be one who's going to be like Judas. This is not one who's going to use and sell the anointing for a piece of pottage. It's only the people who pass the background check. Hallelujah. That and get their body transformed so it can carry the weight of glory that will be trusted with it. What I preach to you straight from the throne of heaven. I'll tell you something. This is a great truth that cannot be gainsaid. You know, I was saying, Lord, I said, Lord, when is this thing coming? He said, chill. He said, I'm working. You know, when God is quiet, he's working. He said, you just keep working. He said, remember what your wife said? He said, 2019 is preparation for the next decade. He said, you just keep working. Good morning, Jesus is not just good morning, Jesus. It is a place of preparation. You know what? Even getting up early in the morning, 3-4 a.m. in the morning, what's happening? Your body's being transformed. What your body couldn't do before, your body is doing. How many people know that? If you've been doing it, you will know what I'm talking about. Your body, you used to tell yourself, it's not possible. My wife was joking with me the other day. He said, honey, all these things you've been preaching for this year, that we should tithe our time, 2.5-3 hours a day. He said, we're doing it now, automatically. What we thought was cannot be possible is being done. The good man Jesus is a transformation mechanism. Amen. To prepare you. Because the people who are going to carry that glory, your body has to be strong. You have to be like the Lord who get up early in the morning with strong crying and tears. It's those kind of people that can be trusted. And that's why he's not going to let Joseph for 2 weeks. You know, it's easy to do it for 2 weeks. Do it for a year and let's see. Do it for 1.5 years, let's see. Will he drop off? Or does he really mean what he says? I know it's Easter Sunday. I hope I haven't spoiled your appetite. I'm going to close soon. Don't worry, I'm going to let you off very soon. Amen. Amen. So that's the purpose. It's twofold. To witness to the nations, to the ethnos, and to send an advance party. Observe this. Papa Kelly Verner mentioned this years ago when he came here. And you know, it's been 15 years, you know. He came in 2004. Another message for another day. 15 is 3 times 5. It's perfection of grace. Another message. Don't worry, I can't tell you everything today. I have many things to say, but you're not able to bear them now. But when the Spirit of God comes, He will. But at least I'm just throwing some things out. You can go and start chewing on them. Praise the Lord. You know, Kelly Vanna said this. He said, watch this. The wise virgins were sleeping. The foolish virgins
were sleeping. But the watchman, again, good morning, Jesus. They were not sleeping. Because if they were sleeping, they would not have cried out. Mm-hmm. Pastor, what's the difference between a wise virgin and a watchman virgin? A wise virgin is one who prays for spirit of wisdom and revelation, has some degree of revelation, but does not move on into the discipline of getting up early in the morning and praying with strong crying and tears. So his body is not transformed. That's the difference. He said, wise. When the cry comes, he will wake up. But why don't you join the advance party? Come out of the wise virgins who are sleeping. This is a wake-up call. This message is a trumpet. It's a wake-up call. You know, the bride hasn't come yet, but he's waking up some of the wise virgins so that they can join the watchman and join the advance team who would declare the coming of the Lord. Selah. I'm going to close. Trust me. How? Pastor Gwega is laughing. Before I close, go to John 17. It's a scripture I've used in recent times, but I want to say it again today and stamp it into your heart. 22 and 23. John 17, 22 and 23. This is a great scripture because it's a prayer, it's Jesus' prayer, but it reveals something deep. It reveals the fact that the glory will happen while we are still in this world. You see, the traditional Christian thing, the glory, you know, that's like Mary and Martha. Yes, when Jesus, you know, at the last day, Lazarus will be raised up. No, this transition is going to take place before the resurrection. And Jesus attests to this here. Look at the prayer. He said, and the glory, everybody read it, folks. Which, don't let me block you. And the glory which thou gavest me. Stop. Which glory did God give Jesus? Stop. Think. Jesus had the glory with God throughout eternity. So that's not the one. It's always Son of God. It was when he became a man and he took on the form of a servant. He didn't have that glory anymore. He didn't get it back until the feast in Cana of Galilee. That's why it says, this is the beginning of miracles. And Jesus manifested his glory. That's what he's talking about. So he's now praying. He says, the glory that you gave me. I'm going to paraphrase. This is Olubi translation, but it's accurate. You can check me out in the scripture. The glory that you gave me that walks on water. The glory that you gave me that turns water to wine. The glory that you gave me that opens the eyes of the blind. The glory that you gave me that feeds the 5,000. The glory that you gave me that raised the dead after 4 days. Father, give it to them. Neka shall I read it. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Watch this. No perfection of unity without the glory. Amen. It's not going to happen. That's why up till today, we have everybody talking his own. That's what we call it, Babylon. It's a babel of voices. Every man doing that which is right in his own sight. When the glory comes, that will be corrected.
Amen.
That's why God had to give exactly the settling of all controversies. That was why God had to cause Aaron's rod to burn. And he brought forth buds, blossoms, and almonds. another message for another day. Go and ask God what that means. I'll preach it in some weeks' time. Amen. Let me just give you a hint. You know, the rod is your physical body. Amen. Amen. Bud. Blossom. Amos. Divine healing. Divine life. Divine healing. Divine health. Divine life. That's at one level. Ask for the advance. So that glory is so important. Watch the next verse. Verse 23. I'm going to close him.
I in them, thou in me, that they may be made what? Perfect in one.
Without the glory, there's going to be no perfection of unity. Mommy and I observed something yesterday. It was Dr. Lara Adeboye's 50th birthday. And some of us, the praying, you know, the Gideon's army and intercessors, we all went to just celebrate with her. Something happened there yesterday. And my wife and I were talking about it inside the car. There was such a unity of love. I said, honey, this is the beginning. You know, if you saw the way brethren rallied around yesterday, they were helping and doing everything. We acted, what?
Members of the choir. Sorry. Members of the choir too. So I wasn't leaving you out, praise the Lord. You are all part of us. Many members of the choir in the intercession.
Yes.
Amen. It's the truth. That's why it makes our choir different from a lot of other choirs. Give the Lord a clap offering for the choir. It's the truth. Because they're a praying choir. They're not just a singing choir. Members of Gideon's army. But the point I'm making is that it was a family. There was such a unity of love. And I said, honey, this is the work of Good Morning Jesus. People have started to change. You know how they didn't love each other before? We did. But it's gone to another level. You know, we don't see, oh, this person did this. All that is that they made perfect in one. Watch this. I'm not done yet. And that the world may know. So it's going to happen when they're in the world. If it was going to happen when they got to heaven, how would the world know? So it's not a glory we're going to get when we get to heaven. That is why it is a Lazarus transformation. It is a pre-resurrection transformation and glory. Have I gotten across to anybody? When you listen to the... Stop the... Go and look at the Bible yourself. So you convince yourself that what I said is true. Even though I know it's true. I got to close. How? I'm going to say it in one word. Groaning. We've already dealt with that on another message. So I'm not going to go into detail about that. How does this transformation take place? As you groan in the Spirit, we'll just look at two scriptures. First of all, look at Romans 8:23. Thank God for Romans 8. What will we do without Paul, Pastor Boyga? Papa Paul. If you take Romans 8 alone out of the New Testament, we are done for. Romans 8. No, don't take 7. No. Don't take. Just take Romans 8 out. You're in trouble. Romans 8. Oh, Shaka. I just show another thing. God is just telling me another thing. God, these people, they want to go and eat. God says, feed them spiritual food first. Then they will enjoy the physical one better. Now watch this. You know, there's that John 17. There's another one. This is the prayer that Paul prayed for the Ephesian churches. So I've preached here before. You know, being filled with all the fullness of God. I'm not going to go into detail. Paul prayed a prayer for people who are filled with the Holy Ghost. Tongue talkers. But they were not filled with all the fullness of God. He said that they were rooted and grounded in love. Christ may dwell in their hearts by faith, that they may be able to comprehend perfection of love, unity. They may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height of the God, that they might be filled with all the fullness of God. It's ahead of us. We're filled with the Holy Ghost, but we're not filled. We're filled with the earnest. We're not filled with all the fullness. See, Dr. Williams, you're a doctor. You see, this untransformed body, it cannot carry the fullness of God. It will crumble. It will come. It will crumble. That's why the body must be transformed. Can't carry it. So that's why, look at this roadmap. That Christ may dwell in the heart by faith. That they become rooted and grounded in love. That they may be able to comprehend with all saints. That they might be filled with all the fullness. Then he says another wonderful thing. This is what my boy was talking about when he says, you know, believe for the impossible. You know, see the invisible. Believe for the impossible. And then manifest the incredible. He said, according to the power that worketh in us, is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Those are serious adjectives, you know, above what you can ask or think. So, or even imagine. So, honey, I just preached in 2014 the ability of the mind of Christ. Incredible photographic memory. Incredible, you know, language line ability, artistic ability, you know, mathematical ability, musical ability. We can think that one. What is the one we cannot think? Selah. He has promised to do above what we can ask. We've asked for that and we are thinking it. So, what will he now do above that? We are waiting to see. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. Neither has it entered into the hearts of men the things God has prepared for them that love him. And it's those who love him that keep his commandments.
Amen.
How? Groaning. Romans 8:23. You will go home soon. I'll let your eyes. I'm looking at my watch. I've just done 1 hour. I will soon finish. It will not be. I promise you. We're going to finish now. Look at Romans 8:23. We're going to look at two scriptures. Romans 8:23 and then 2 Corinthians 5 and then I close. Romans 8:23. He's talking to spirit-filled people. Born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talkers. All the New Testament churches were born again, spirit-filled, tongue-talkers. Ephesus, Colossae, you know, 1 Thessalonians, they're all born again, spirit-filled. Not only they, I didn't hear you, but ourselves also, which have, the first fruits of the Spirit. It means we're born again, we're spirit filled, we speak in tongues. That's what it means by first fruits of the Spirit. We have the earnest of the Spirit. We have this deposit anointing. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption. To wait. The word wait means to know by experience. The what? Redemption. Or you can call it the transformation. So, what's the roadmap to the transformation? Groaning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verses 2 through 5. And I'm going to read this now in the New International Version. You know, I don't agree with everything there, but you know, there's a part of it that is very good. New International Version. Meanwhile, we groan. Ever say groan? Don't you ever say we can't run away from this groaning? Longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Now, you see, the carnal mind here will quickly run to the resurrection. While there is an application to the resurrection here, because the Bible talks about the manifold wisdom of God, some of these scriptures have a dual application. They apply to the transformation before the resurrection, and they also apply to the resurrection. So there's a dual meaning. Just like, for example, Zion, it applies to natural Israel. And many people, every time they read anything about Zion in the Old Testament, they say, oh, it's Israel, which is true, but it's also us. For out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. So Zion is not only just natural Israel. It's not just the city of David, you know, that is still in Jerusalem today. You know, Zion is a church, but not the whole church. The perfect church. Because there is Zion, there's Jerusalem, there's Israel. All in the church. So that's why you need pastors and teachers like me, to the glory of God. You know, who says they give them the sense and the understanding and cause them to understand the reading. I have given them pastors after my heart that we feed them. Not with rice and dodo. You'll get that after the service. Amen. But with knowledge and understanding. Hello, somebody. Okay. Next verse. Verse 3. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. Now, this is very important. The clothing of the human spirit is the physical body. If you take the body off, the human spirit is naked. Once it's naked, it goes to heaven. So it's not talking about going to heaven. Keep reading. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because, Pastor Quaker, look at it. Because, honey, look at it. We do not wish to be unclothed. I don't want to die. About that. We do not wish to be unclothed, but to what? To be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. That's a transformed body. It moves from the fallen state to the Adamic state. See, Adam's body was eternal. It was not immortal. It could die, and it did die. Jesus' body was eternal, and it did die. When you undergo this transformation, you will go to the eternal state, but it doesn't mean you cannot die. So don't start jumping off buildings and doing stupid things or going to expose yourself. You know, that's why the Bible says, and when he knew they sought to kill him, he did not walk in jury. You know why? A prophet must not perish outside Jerusalem, the place of destiny. Jesus was very careful because he knew he could die. Even though he didn't have sin in his body. So when your body gets transformed, a bit like Jesus' body, then your salvation or your redemption will be complete. Your spirit has been saved. Your soul is being saved, and your body will be saved.
Amen.
By the Lazarus transformation of the physical body. Amen. That will carry the glory of God, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up of life. Daily practice of prayer. Strong crying and tears, groaning, pumps the life of God from the spirit into the physical body, and it removes death. It removes death. It removes death. It removes death. One day the body will be totally transformed, and then you can carry the glory. Let us pray. Selah. That's the message. The Lazarus transformation of the physical body is available. And there will be a company of people, the advanced party, that will do it in this end time. Sadly, it won't be everybody. But it can be everybody. It won't be, but it can be. Anybody who wants to join can join. You know, in America, you can go and join the FBI if you like. You can join everybody. They do background check, you know, first of all. Then they'll say they'll send you to, they'll have one school called somewhere in California. They send you there. You spend 6 months, 1 year. They train you. They send you another place for CIA. If you go through the training and you come out, you become an agent. You want to join the advanced party, you can join. Join Good Morning Jesus to start with. Let's see how you last there. Then we take you to higher things. Am I talking to anybody here? Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. This is Jesus' birthday. Pastor Andrew said this earlier on. You know, Christmas is Jesus' physical birthday. Easter is Jesus' spiritual birthday. This was the day Jesus was born again.
Jesus was the first one to ever be born again. He paid the penalty, sacrifice of sin. God raised up His Son.
God raised up His Son. Yet He's not the only one.
See, see, stand your feet.
His own right hand.
Let's sing it.
Jesus was the first one to ever be born again.
Sing it, choir.
Jesus was the first one to ever be born again.
Hallelujah.
He paid the penalty, satisfied the claim of sin.
Hallelujah.
God raised up His Son, yet He's not the only one seated at His own right hand. Jesus was the first one to ever be born again.
Sing the first stanza.
David spoke concerning him in his tongue, was glad to tell. Our Father's holy one wouldn't be left in hell. God said it's enough, then He raised him up new. He said, "You are my son,
today
I have begotten you."
Hallelujah.
Jesus was the first one to ever be born again.
Glory to God.
He paid the penalty, satisfied the claim of sin.
God sent His own Son.
Yet He's not the only one seated at His own right hand. Jesus was the first one to ever be born again.
David was a prophet, and God had sworn to him.
Hallelujah.
He said that all the fruit of his loins would rise again.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God fulfilled His promise to all of us kin. You can put your name there.
Ha!
And Jesus is the head of a brand new race of men.
Glory, sing it. Hallelujah.
Jesus was the first one to ever be born again.
Hallelujah.
He bear the penalty, satisfy the claim of sin.
God raised up His Son.
God raised up His Son. Yet He's not the only one seated on His own right hand. Jesus was the first one to ever be born
again. One more time. Jesus was the first one.
Jesus was the first one to ever be born again.
Today's His birthday.
He paid the penalty, satisfied the claim of sin. God raised up His Son, yet He's not the only one seated on His own right hand. Jesus was the first one to ever be born again.
God raised up His Son.
God raised up His Son. Yet He's not the only one seated at His own right hand. Jesus was the first one to ever be born again.
Put your hand on your heart. God, this is a prophetic landmark message. The Lord spoke to me some. He said 2018, 2019, 2020. He said, we are coming from Lagos to Ibadan. He said, when you see Guru Marahaji, you know you are close to Ibadan. But you're not in Ibadan yet. Then you keep traveling. Then you get to the old toll gate. Then you send a text home. I'm in Ibadan, but I'm not home yet. Then you go through Dugbe or Challenge. It is until you get home. We've passed Guru. enter through gate, you'll soon be whole. Raise your hand. Touch your heart. Say, Father, we confess our sins, especially the sin of unbelief. Refusing to believe the incredible things, the impossible things inside your word. Forgive me. We receive cleansing by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this Easter Sunday, this day that all the world celebrates Jesus' spiritual birthday. Father, I understand. I thank you for what you have shared. I make a heart commitment. I make a heart commitment like John, like Peter, like Paul, to press toward the mark for this prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Even the Lazarus transformation of my physical body in this life. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on my unbelief. Have mercy on my fear. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. So I'll be found faithful to be worthy of this high calling that you have revealed to me this Easter Sunday. In Jesus' name. Let's pray the Spirit. Mercy on us. La prikito freka kramastoko. Lo predika sto fredes. L'ombre dele kashaliko. Rika to fredes. Langara dolo mashala. L'ombre dika to fredes. L'ombre delas. L'ombre dika to fredes. L'ombre des. L'ombre de la mashala. Rika to fredes. Dolo mato frede. La predika tuske fredes. L'ombre delas. L'ombre dika. Lord, have mercy on us. Nika toloma kokoloma toloma tu fredo freshe. Toloma toloma tu fredo fredo freshe. Sofria. L'ombre kakoloma toloma tu fre. L'ombre kakoloma tolo. L'ombre kakoloma sho. L'ombre kakoloma tolo fredes. L'ombre kakoloma tolo sh. Zika tu fredi. L'ombre kakoloma tolo maso. L'ombre kakoloma tolo basha. Hento sko fredes. Lo pridia. Longros. No fredes. Nongaras. Dolomas. Jikito fres, longer dolos, longer dolores, tu frides, longer deles, jikito frides, dolecar dolos, non frides, non credelas, tu frines, jikito frines, longer deles, tu frines, longer des, tu frines, nengar tu frisk. In Jesus' name.
Just sit down, please. I just want to say that the manifestation of His glory is based on these four steps. See, when Pastor was preaching, I was going through quickly the Bible, and I was looking at some of the things. Even Mary, it had to be the same. We have to, when the angel appeared to her, said, "Fear not, Mary." She asked, "How can these things be? How can these things be?" And you know, she'd never seen it before.
Yes.
Says the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Has she seen the Holy Ghost before? Does she know what the Holy Ghost looks like? So what is it? Was seeing the invisible.
And the power of the Most
will overshadow you. Will shall overshadow you. And she said, "Let it be unto me according to thy word." She believed. She believed. She believed. She had not seen it. She believed. What looked impossible. And you know, in there, the angel told her about Elizabeth and said, "With God, all things are possible. With God, there is nothing impossible." So with God, all things are possible.
Including the transformation.
All things. Brethren, the first step, we must see the invisible. We must see it. What is invisible? Sarah judged God faithful. She had never seen it. God said it. She believed it. The invisible, the word of God, the blood of the Lamb, and the Holy Spirit. You say it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. If he said it, it must be. Hallelujah. Faith. And by the blood, they overcame. What is our conscience is promoted? What to overcome Satan by that blood? By the Holy Spirit, help better infirmity. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. And we know as we go and pray, all things begin to work together for them that of the Lord. See. See. Then believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible to him that believe. Lord,
we believe. Lord, we believe. All things are possible to him that believes.
You see, we were praying one morning in Good Morning Jesus. Before, if you understand when how I was saying it, I was saying, fix your game. Fix steadily. And you must fix that Jesus. He fixed, the Bible says, he fixed his eyes. So we must fix. And then I was praying about, yes, Lord, we fix our eyes on the invisible. Then I was saying, we receive the impossible. God said, no, wrong order, girl. Wrong order, girl. I knelt down. Those of you know, immediately I finished praying the sanctification, my knees are on the ground. My knees are on the ground. Because I must consecrate everything to the Lord. My knees are on the ground. I must, Lord, pray that as you have entreated him, that the Lord would choose himself to be entreated of us. The Lord said, "Is believe first. Girl, before I receive, you must believe.
Yes.
You must believe before you receive. Sarah judged him faithful. She believed in the faithfulness of God. And then what did the Bible says? She received strength. Until you believe. Until you fix your gaze. You cannot receive strength to conceive. Look upon us. Look at everything in the Bible. It's all there. And then finally, she manifested the incredible. And if you're a good money person, you know. Come on now. God, like Sarah, judge in faithful so that you can believe and receive, that you manifest incredible. Yeah. Life and concede life and laughter in every area of your life. Every dead thing comes to life. So as we move on these days, these are just this. Lord, I fix my gaze. I fix my eyes on you, author of my faith, casting aside
every sin and every way.
Oh, hallelujah.
I fix my eyes on you. I fix my eyes on you.
I lay my
burdens down, letting the gates of this world not fade away.
Advance party. And if you know, when we're praying again, listen to those words. I will say, let us agree, let us pray that whatsoever as watchers, the Bible says, whatsoever as watchers, we decree. The advance party is decree. It's coming to pass. He's making divine decrees and announcing. Our lives are changing. Our lives have been transformed. If you were there yesterday, you would know there was no Jew, there was no Gentile. Hallelujah. Oh, that's the body of Christ. Oh, one. I didn't even know Professor Adewumi was a professor. He was running around. Ah, Shantoro Bosodi. How beautiful it is. Some of you missed, though. Come and see how your pastor was dancing. Masoto Roboshaka. Hey. Evil prof. I got home. I told my husband. I said, I've never seen Professor Dosumu. The man has steps.
So I told Bob, this is a secret, but I'm going to expose it. You know, before Professor Dosumu got born again, he used to be a DJ. No. He used to spin. So I told the wife, I said, Jesu Lobumole.
Brethren, we thank God. We give God the praise. Hallelujah. Lord, we receive. Lord, we believe. Lord, we receive. All things are possible. Be to whom that believeth. And then in our lifetime, we will manifest the incredible. This mortal, hallelujah, will be swallowed up by immortality whilst on earth, hallelujah.
I may dwell in your house, O Lord my King, all of the day,
all the days of my life.
All the days of my life.
Let us before your being.
I was just whispering to Prof Olokwade, when the glory comes, all those who have it, you will go to the lab. We will take your blood sample. I'm very serious. We will go and check the genes. It's going to be different.
Amen.
Something happened with John G. Lake, apart from the bubonic leak something. This happened many, many years ago. When he was at the peak of his ministry. They connected electrodes to the brain, you know, and they watched the brain activity. When they connected to his brain and he began to read Psalm 23, the needle bounced. The needle could not read the reading. The needle went out of range. They couldn't. He said, that's the life of God in operation. It will be scientifically corroborated. Join hand with your neighbor. It's Easter Sunday. It's Easter Sunday. You can go home now. Even me, I'm going to eat rice now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you his salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts on you the anointing of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, turn to everybody, your body is being transformed.